Hey there, Piss Freaks. This is Tom Dekar here. Thanks for listening to the show. Before we get started, I want to tell you about our buddy John Bilancini and Brandon Reams podcast, 1994. 1994 is a pop culture nostalgia podcast. The first and third Friday of each month, Brooklyn comedians Brandon Ream, John Bilancini, and sound engineer Amy Bilancini welcome a comedian to discuss the TV, music, movies, and more from 1994. 1994 is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Podomatic, and can be found on Facebook and Twitter at 1994 Podcast. Check that show out. You heard John on our show. He's a great time, and you can check out Brandon's other podcast, The Nostalgic Front, also on Podomatic and iTunes. Check those boys out, and Amy. They're a great time. You're going to enjoy it. And without further ado, enjoy the show.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band, the podcast where comedians come on to defend music that they like that other people make fun of them for liking. What's up with that shit? People guilting people about their taste. Tommy, are you fired up about this?
I think it's reprehensible. That's what I think. And I'm in tears today.
You are crying.
I am.
Why
crying.
Are you sobbing?
People just won't leave us alone. We pick the bands we want to talk about.
Every fucking time. Dude, you know what's funny? We didn't even get that many today of people like, I can't even believe you're doing this. But I was still mad as if we did get them. All day in my head, I've been fighting with people who don't even exist. Just like every other day. I am Tom Dekar, of course. I am joined by this Prince of Snarkness, the Piss of Snarkness, Tommy McNamara.
It's lovely to be here.
It's good to have you back in the studio, which is our home.
Yep.
I've missed you so.
If I haven't been in the studio in a while, that's cause for concern.
If Tommy's out of the studio for more than 72 hours, I call the police.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we are joined by another man who's staying in our home, Tyler Stodgrass.
Oh, hello. Buddy?
We should say that thing that you heard before the intro of the podcast, that blah, 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 blah thing, was Alex Lifeson of the band Rush giving the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame acceptance speech. And we only played about, I'm going to say, a quarter of it.
It's a full 2 minutes and 40 seconds of him doing that.
Yeah.
And so the crowd is really into it.
They love it. So if you think we're self-indulgent by doing this podcast, some people are like, that's what this whole show is. This sounds like background noise to people, blah, blah, blah.
I'm impressed that any person listening is still listening after that's the opening.
We honestly played that because that's about how boring Rush is as a band.
Hey, so that's what the fuck?
It is cool that Alex Lifeson is Charlie Brown's dad. I think that's pretty cool.
Actually, that's how he got famous, was Charlie came first.
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
He's like, but I play guitar.
Tyler, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man.
You having a good little New York trip? Tyler's all the way in town from Chicago, Illinois.
Ever heard
of
it?
City of Angels.
That's right. I've been having a good week. Thank you for letting me sleep on your couch.
This otherwise, is the only rent we require.
Yeah, you gotta be on this stupid fucking podcast and talk about music.
Yeah. Happy to do it.
Usually not very knowledgeably. You got big plans tonight? You're gonna go do a couple shows?
Doing a couple shows tonight, and then I fly out tomorrow night.
Damn. In and out.
In and out.
Such is life.
But, you know.
Feels like you just got here. We drank some tasty, spicy margaritas one day. You're
that
gone
was
the next.
That was a great lunch.
We went and had lunch and had spicy margaritas, Tommy.
Wow.
How do you feel about that?
I know that. FOMO.
No FOMO. Let's talk a bit about this band. Like I said, we're talking about Rush today. Yeah. Rush could fit into the... It's weird because this is one of those bands where people... I was worried people wouldn't hate them. I don't. I have a weird relationship with them myself.
That's what you
so
told me.
So I was
me,
like,
yeah.
I am already coming in loaded on this one. And by loaded, I mean I've had six beers. No, I'm coming in with some preconceived, you know, hatred of, not hatred, but I have some people in my life who love Rush, who I'm not a huge fan of. Yeah, so
you've got some preconceived anger.
Yeah, specifically, lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins,
Billy Corgan.
Well, Billy Corgan. No, he
used to
love
live
them,
with
though.
Billy Corgan.
Yeah, and I'm not a big fan.
I had kind of a moment of panic today when I listened to a Rush song on YouTube, and then YouTube like automatically selected the next song to be a Smashing Pumpkins song. I was like, "Oh fuck, are Smashing Pumpkins the Rush of from when I was growing up?" And then I had this pick, and I used to love Smashing Pumpkins.
That's so
and
funny.
I was like, "Oh no, am I a dork?"
This is one of those rare times though when I was reading more and more about the band where I was like, "Ah," because there were moments when I liked them. There were like. I don't hate everything about them, and that's what's more frustrating to me about them, yeah. Where it's like the people who really love them will act like you're the biggest fucking idiot. Or like, I know a lot of people who are into Rush, and they're only into Rush. Like,
that's
it's
annoying.
The only band they yeah. listen to, and it's insane. I don't know how you can live like that, but yeah. They're like, well, once you've heard music that's this technically good, how could you love anything else again?
Yeah, I would say even as a Rush fan, some of their stuff I despise.
Really?
There's some stuff.
What about the Trees? You like the Trees?
I do like the Trees.
Of course you do.
Trees
of course you do, you
is
sick
pretty
fuck.
Lame. The instrumental part is.
Can we listen to the Trees?
Yeah, let me pull up the Trees.
It's just the most heavy-handed metaphor of all time. I do remember in high school hearing it and being like, oh my God, he's not talking about trees at all. I think I'm on to
something deeper. I contemplated putting the Trees on here, but I was like, it's gonna come up.
I'm gonna skip ahead.
Even the intro is silly.
I hate this album cover so much for Hemisphere. There is unrest in the forest. There is trouble with the trees. For the maples want more sunlight and the oaks ignore their pleas. Do not give to charity. People need to help themselves.
No, it'll probably take a while to find it, but the funniest part is in the last verse, it opens, so the maples formed a union.
Yeah.
Oh, we really dropped the metaphor.
The metaphor demanded equal rights.
Yeah, yeah. And demanded smart. Equal rights. Like, oh, so we're just not even trying to.
Union dues were $8.50 a week.
Yeah. It's like, they were like, we have a message. How do we sell it? Maybe not quite a metaphor. Maybe that'll do it.
Oh, and God. The maple was named Bernie Sanders.
It says this song can be seen as an extremely overdramatic representation of how Canadians feel about Americans. Note the Whoa. Maple leaf is at the center of the Canadian flag. End of the podcast. That's what it says after this. The song back. This is funny. American politician Rand Paul sometimes mentions this song in interviews and speeches, using it as an example of his libertarian ideology. However, Neil Peart, whose political views don't always sync with Paul's, had Rush's management send a cease and desist order to Paul, asking him to stop quoting the lyrics, because they said that he, I believe the quote was, hates brown people and women. So they didn't want to be associated with them. That's the thing. So this is a big thing with Rush. This is something that's always annoyed me about the people who love Rush. I feel like they're very into the Ayn Rand bullshit that to me is, I'm not a fan of the ideologies of
this is not Stand By Your Rand.
I should say
no. Rand Paul or Ayn Rand.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was always annoyed with that. It's people who are like, well, people complain about, like, we shouldn't have affirmative action and all this shit, and it annoys me. And so I was like, I'm going to find some fun quotes from Neil Peart about libertarianism. And what I found is, and people asking him point blank about Ayn Rand, and he's like, dude, I read that 40 years ago. I'm not still into it. Like, I was a kid. I was trying to figure out who I was. But the themes of what the fuck is the name of the big book that Ayn Rand wrote that they keep
Atlas
quoting?
Shrugged.
It's
Atlas
not that one. It's not Fountainhead. There's Anthem. Another one. Anthem is the one.
Tyler, has your girl ever given you that Fountainhead?
Oh man, it was like this. I started pruning so much. Too much water.
Yeah, she says whites only. It's that Fountainhead. Wait, from the 50s.
Quick tangent. We were playing. There was like we had a private. We set up a basketball game for one of my friend's birthdays. It was like super fun, and there was a sign over the like the water fountain. You weren't supposed to drink from the water fountain because it was broken. You're supposed to use the cooler outside. And then our friend Chris, who was black, was going over to the water fountain, and Joel yells, "Chris, you can't drink from that water fountain."
Yeah.
And then he was like, "Chris, I shouldn't yell that."
Chris is a black man, we should say. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can't yell that. You gotta let him drink from any water fountain.
Even if it's broken.
If there's like fucking shit coming out of it, let him go. He'll figure it out himself.
Oh my God. Well, this is a podcast about race. And,
we really solved it. We figured it out.
Are you guys more of an oak or a maple? What's your heritage? I'm a dogwood myself.
Is that right? Yeah. I'm a spruce tree.
I'm 1/8 spruce.
I'm evergreen, like my jokes. Damn.
I'm the tree of life, bitch.
Is that right?
Yeah, too long and annoying to me.
Man, I'm that tree from Ocarina of Time.
Oh,
I'm dying.
The old Deku tree.
Yeah, but I'll make Zelda. I'll make what's his name? Link. Yeah,
you'll let little boys inside you.
I will make a man out of a boy, though. Yeah, by him entering me and then exiting a man. Oh boy, that was weird. So let's get into your history with Rush.
Sure. Yeah.
When did you start listening to Rush? It's funny to me to imagine a small child being into them.
Definitely wasn't small.
Which happened first? Did you did your hairline start receding, or did you start listening to Rush?
I would blame my hairline on Rush probably. I think that's when it all started going downhill. I was 16, discovered Rush, and the rest is a terrible history.
Oh, man. So 16 is the age.
Something like that. So, yeah. Like, of course, they're, like, on classic rock radio.
Right.
And I don't even really like some of the songs. Like, I don't... Tom Sawyer's whatever. But that's, like, their big song. They play on classic rock all the time. Sorry.
I like Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer...
I think it's not bad, but it's not one of my favorites.
That's the first Rush song that I heard, and it was in the film The Waterboy, I believe. Starring Adam Sandler. Yeah. During a pivotal scene in the movie, Tom Sawyer plays. I think it's during a game, and I was like, hell yeah.
Waterboy's the one where the woman falls in love with the fish monster.
That's right. Yeah. He's not an ugly fish alien monster. He's a water boy. The medulla oblongata. That's the only thing I remember from that movie now.
Oh, I showed that movie to my girlfriend because I forgot how offensive it is. And she was like, they're making fun of handicapped people. I can't watch this anymore.
Are they? Oh, yeah. That's the
I
whole
I just don't
point.
Think I could watch him do that voice for that long. Yeah. Again.
I forgot that he like has a stutter and shit in that. In my head, it was just a movie about like a southern guy. I forgot that it's like he's mentally
the
off.
90s were real different.
You can do it. And then you got Rob Schneider playing any race he feels like.
True.
It's weird they called that movie Funny Radio.
You didn't think radio was funny? I thought it was a laugh riot. That and I Am Sam, the comedies of the year. Oh my God. This is so crazy that we're talking about the water boy. Yeah. Anyway, you didn't get into Tom Sawyer like a smart man would.
Yeah. hate to read. So But I got into metal when I was like 13 or 14. I was a big metalhead.
Yeah.
And then,
does your girl ever give you that metal head?
Oh, shreds my shit up, man.
Damn. God damn it. I did one of those to somebody today. Somebody said, I think somebody said they had a big head. And I was like, I like when your girl gives you that big head. And they did not like it.
Too much room. So I was like a metal head. I started playing guitar when I was like real young, but then getting really into it after I found like Metallica and Megadeth and like music that I can't really listen to so easily anymore.
Yeah.
But I was like studying, like quote unquote studying metal, like trying to play all these metal songs. So my interest in music was very academic and nerdy. So then
this
I found
typical Rush shit.
Yeah. So I found Rush.
Did you get into Tool? Did you ever get into like
I did get into
math,
Tool.
Like real math rock? Like yeah.
I never learned that much because I felt like that was like more of a bass kind of band.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did like Tool
for sure.
Like especially like a senior year, I kind of got into them and stuff.
I remember, jamming out to Sober and just being like,
"Oh god!"
They played all those crazy time signatures, and I loved it. I was like, "This is so smart!" Like,
as someone who was trying to drum in high school, though, I would get so frustrated, like, listening to songs those time signatures, just knowing I couldn't fucking do it.
Yeah, it's got to be easier when you're not a drummer to play in those time signatures. Because I remember learning it. It's just like, I can just muscle memory this and count it.
Yeah.
But
it's really funny. I feel like I'm very condescending about math rock, being able to not play any instruments at all.
Or do math.
I don't know. I'm math illiterate or whatever. Yeah. Ask me 2 plus 2.
What's 2 plus 2?
4. I figured, you stupid piece of shit. I set you up.
Got him.
Got him.
I'm
anyway,
got him
here.
Lee.
Gotti Lee?
I guess.
Yeah, something's there. let's see. So you were into it from that.
So I was just like learning them because I was like, I'll be so good at guitar if I can even play it. And then it kind of stuck.
sure. Yeah. I feel like a lot of my friends who were into them are like, it's funny because my stepdad was super into Rush when I was a kid.
Oh, there it
is. But he's very stupid. He's like a dumb fuck. And he would be like, he literally told me this and I told it to other people. He goes, you know what? It's called Rush. They're called Rush. And I was like, why? And he goes, because they're from Russia.
And he really thought that?
He really thought that.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so funny.
And it's true.
Oh, okay.
Those Canadian boys are from Russia.
Canada's just a suburb of Russia.
That
I've
is
heard.
True. You can see it from, you can see Russia from Canada. Why
That's
not?
That's true, yeah.
And then, he can't play any instruments. He's just a dumbass who probably heard that they were cool or something. What a fucking idiot. Anyway, let's get back to Stand By Your Stepdad. I had a roommate in college who was very funny, but maybe the worst quality about him is he would, end of parties, he would make us watch Rush music videos on YouTube, and it was infuriating, but he was a good bass player, and he would be like, listen to how good this bass is, and I was like, well, I can't argue with you about that, but I've always said this of Rush, it's like if robots were good at music. it's like they don't have any soul or anything, but it's technically it is music. I don't know. It's not for
I would say they do have some soul, and that's what I'm here to prove today.
See, this is the spirit we need.
Yeah, not like Spirit Airlines.
I flew that on Friday.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How was it?
Oh, man.
$34. Can anyone be, I'm just doing beer, but
I was like, that's the same as that happened to me.
I didn't know that you didn't get a free drink.
No, you
that
get nothing for free.
Me up.
Yeah, you got to pay $3. But
you want a Diet Coke, $3.
Yeah, $3.
Wow. Isn't that was that
I'd
was
rather spend $150 on an American flight and get that free soda.
That's true.
Because
in my head, I'm like, I'm going to drink that much of free stuff. And I mean, those peanuts were worth $60.
Easily. Yeah.
How much was your bag?
I didn't bring one. I literally, so I flew in on Saturday and I was going to a wedding Saturday afternoon. And I just wore my suit onto the plane so I wouldn't
50s?
Have to have a carry on.
Yeah. This is people always like, the people who get maddest about Spirit are people who don't realize that you have to pay for bags at the airport if you fuck up and it's really expensive. But as long as you read the thing, I mean, there's so much rhetoric going around, you know, you got to know what's going on by
gotta
now.
Got to Google it, you know.
Yeah, and so I heard that they've sucked, and so I Googled their policy, and I was like, oh, I'll just take one backpack with me and jam it full of shit, and they don't charge you for that. This is how you get around this stuff, guys. But the problem with
Welcome
spirit
back to
is...
Todd Barry's podcast.
Hey, I'm not telling you to sign up for mileage. if you... damn it, what was I going to say? If you just wear your clothes. But the only problem with Spirit, I don't want to give them a full endorsement, because if they cancel your flight, they kind of fuck you on it.
I was worried that was going
to
happen.
Yeah, I've heard that story. That happened to our friends, the Maupins. Yep. It was a real scary story. Anyway, Tommy, what's your background with Rush?
I'm going to say a statement Rush fans are going to love. I like Geddy Lee's voice because it reminds me of Gwen Stefani's voice from the Tragic Kingdom era of No Doubt.
Wow.
And I know that...
They're going to love that.
I know.
That's a take that maybe no one else has.
That is so funny. I kind of want to hear a side-by-side of this.
Let's do it.
All right, so...
Play any song from Tragic Kingdom. Let me find the best one.
Because I...
There is one that sounds like Tom Sawyer, yeah. And that's why I'm thinking of it. And
we'll okay. It. I'm looking it up now. No Doubt, Tragic Kingdom. Because I don't know if I hear this. And I actually do like Geddy Lee's voice. I like Geddy Lee. I think he seems like a nice man. It's really only Neil Peart that has a lot of...
Geddy Lee's also a regular Hall of Bat girl, some would say.
Is that right? That's is that true?
Totally true.
That's B-A-N-A-N-A-S, if you ask me. should I try Spiderwebs?
It's not that. It's,
is it The Climb?
It might be The Climb.
Let's try The Climb and see if it's... Sparks any? Fuck! I really screwed up here. I should have just played Tom Sawyer. God damn it! Holding myself up, I run my bed of my searching to see if anybody else has said this.
Yeah, and I might just be a crazy person.
Yeah, I'm not hearing it here.
There's
I mean,
something
she
about
goes, he has like a higher thing going on. She has like a more masculine voice.
The way they
kind
of reach for notes, I find some.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah.
That kind of thing.
I want you to meet Gwen Stefani and be like, hey, do you need a taller man to reach those notes for you?
But I always will think of them as they're the type of classic rock. When I worked in a restaurant, mm-hmm. I feel like Rush is like, it's a band you listen to while you're working at a restaurant because
sure.
They come on the classic rock radio. Yeah. And like, I never hated it. I always liked the Rush songs I heard.
Yeah.
And I just never like sought them out on my own, really.
Uh-huh.
And I definitely did like fall into that trap of thinking that Neil Peart was incredible just because of how many drums he had.
That's
which is
like
so silly in retrospect.
You see a picture.
Yeah.
He is a talented drummer, but I went the other way where I was like, that's too many fucking drums, man. That's like, I don't know. That's like if you go, if like a guy had like too many, he's like buying Magnum condoms like in front of people. Like
yeah,
he's trying
yeah,
to
yeah.
show off or something, you know?
It is like if you thought Neil Brennan was the best comedian. Look at all those mics.
How can you have that many mics if he's not the best? They don't just give you microphones, however many you want. I still want to make 21 mics where I do 21 different things. This is my microphone for things that happened at the bank.
Yeah. The last one has to be you sing a parody of Green Day's 21 Guns called 21 Mics. Yeah. And that's how you close. I'll help you write it.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be good. This is my one-man show. Man, I bet he would be pissed off if I actually did this. I don't want to do it. I feel like I just got a bad taste in my mouth from them because of all this. But I will say one thing that I can't deny is I did like some of the music. I always liked, Limelight?
Limelight's good.
Yeah,
I love that.
Cool.
I remember liking Red Barchetta, and then I went back and listened to it before this, and I wasn't as into it.
You know what's so weird is I had the same experience.
Really?
I remember liking that song when it's on the radio, but when I was putting the playlist together, I listened to it, and I was like, it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah. It didn't stick out to me the way it used to.
It doesn't have a hook, really.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's it. It doesn't really have anything to keep, you know.
Yeah.
The hook is
the hook is that it's a car in a time when cars are outlawed. Which, what a story. It's like a Kilgore Trout novel.
Oh, yeah.
Vonnegut Ref.
Love a good Vonnie Ref. Indiana man.
I've heard of Bon Iver, but Vonnie Ref?
Hold for it. let's listen really quickly to... Oh, wait. I thought you put Limelight on here.
I did.
I'm looking at the Tom Waits.
I'd love to hear
it. It's weird that you put all Tom Waits songs on here. You're such a fucking Russian.
Oh, the woo's a lighted street. That's good. My throat hurt so bad after our last recording. And I was like, why is my throat hurt? Oh, I did a Tom Waits impression for 2 hours. I was trying to, at least. Even though mine's horrible.
Live with my foes.
I have to try and do it.
Strong, I think. All right, let's see here.
Do you know what Alex Lifeson's real name is?
Oh, he has a crazy last name.
Alex Lifehouse.
Yeah. He is hanging by a moment. It is Aleksandar Zivojinovich.
Oh, it's funny. I read that name without even putting... I didn't realize
which
they
sounds
were referencing
Russian.
Him. Yeah.
Which means
that
team you're stepped in.
Right. Oh, man.
I'm officially team Brad.
Wait, did you... You did put Tom Sawyer on here?
No, we were talking about Limelight.
Oh, I thought I was looking at your Rush playlist. No, I looked at its recently played artist. My bad.
Oh, okay.
Top 6 Rush. Here we go. So let's listen to Limelight really quickly, and then we'll go to Jared's voicemail.
That's a good riff. It's solid. Drums come at the right time. But I think it's interesting is they use so many multisyllabic words.
Oh,
it's like
yeah.
The least catchy words to sing.
I didn't know until today that Neil wrote the lyrics. Or most of them. He's the primary lyricist.
I didn't know that either. Yeah, I thought, my mic's on, right? I definitely thought that it was Getty doing a lot of the heavy
lifting.
It seems
like a weird trick. Like he's some sort of puppet and puppet master.
Yeah. I think that Getty used to write the lyrics and then... part of the reason, because Neil wasn't their first drummer. They brought him on after the first album, and they're like, oh, this guy reads a lot. Maybe we'll just make him write the lyrics.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, the first drummer, Mr. One Drum.
It was only a little
snare.
Drummer boy.
We need more drums. That's a British accent, or a Canadian accent to me.
So I've been desperately searching online to see if anyone else in the world thinks that Gwen Stefani and Geddy Lee sound alike. I found one tweet from 2013. Of a woman named Jess Filippi, who said that they're voice doppelgangers. Zero retweets, zero likes.
You better retweet
that. I'm retweeting it right now. Jess, you're in for a treat.
She's like, I was about to kill myself because my tweet didn't get anything. Wait, what year is that from?
It's March 8th, 2013. 5 years ago, one person had this thought. I think this ends with me and Jess getting married.
Nice. Bye, Marcia. Hope you're
the old drummer.
That was Limelight, of course. Mm-hmm. I like that song. And apparently, Limelight means the center of attention.
Oh, look at that.
Drummer and lyricist Neil Peart says, success puts a strain on the friendship, and it puts the strains on your day-to-day relationship, and it's something that we did go through. You know, we're not immune to it, but we were able to overcome it through our closeness, and we were able to help each other with difficulties like that, and then we could deal with the pressures and things and that. That's what the quote says.
Wow.
It's weird that they... I mean, it's pretty impressive that they've stayed... They seem to have like a sense of humor amongst each other, and like they seem to be fine with each other's company. And Neil Peart's like a shy dude, and then the other two kind of take on like being front.
Why do you think he has so many drums? He's hiding.
He's hiding behind all those drums. He's trying. Someday he's hoping no one can see him behind there.
That's true.
He just peek out, and then they'll cheer. Then he back down. Let's see. Alex Lifeson says, we were very, very careful not to let it get the best of us, that sudden success can really change you and you become lazy and constantly have other people doing things for you like Tommy McNamara.
What
and
the
you
hell?
Lose perspective on why you're there and really what you're doing. Yeah, he really had a lot of perspective back then. Before I forget, we should listen to... we should listen. I just got tagged in your... or stay in my bed. Your man got tagged in your stupid tweet.
Stupid tweet?
Oh, my bad.
The guy from Cash Cab just followed me. I don't think it's very stupid.
Oh, shit. New Cash Cab or old Cash Cab?
My friend Ben.
Let's listen to Jared Thompson's voicemail. Jared is the owner of the beautiful Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana, where they have a new sign.
I saw that picture. It looks great.
Really incredible looking. He gives his thoughts on the bands. Oh, by the way, we'll be in Bloomington for the Limestone
Very
Comedy
soon.
Festival. The last weekend of May, first weekend of June.
Friday?
Yes, June that Friday 1st? During the day at the Buskirk Chumley Theater. It's going to be super fun. Get tickets to Limestone
Chumley Fest. Chumley from Pawn Stars will be there.
That is true. He's the guest. He's defending some CDs that somebody brought in.
A white nationalist band. And we're into it.
All right. Here is Jer Bear.
What's up, y'all? This week they went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Rush. You know, even if I didn't care about Rush, the ponytail and trench coat mafia would never allow us to not know about Rush. God forbid. We just don't like it. But people just won't shut the fuck up about them, and it's just like, you know, they're fine. I look at Rush self-titled from, I think it's 74, as a fairly elite rock and roll album of the first half of the 70s. I mean, I think it's great. And then, much like Aerosmith, where, in this case, Geddy Lee's like balls drop or whatever happened to him, his voice, I'm embarrassed when I hear the way he sings, and it just makes it really hard for me to try to listen to their music. And then you throw on top of that where it's like they're trying to do math with their instruments or whatever, and it's just like, yeah, they're good. I mean, no one's going to say that they're not good. I mean, there's something about them that is good, of course, but it's like, you know, you hear these, like, the ponytail trench coat people are like, oh, it's so technical and they're so good at what they do and, like, just see what they... And it's like, you just have to be, like, good at your instrument. You don't need to fucking know every little stupid thing about it. Like, just play good music and that's the end of it. Like, why do you care if, like, Steve Vai can, like, set his guitar on fire while he's playing? Like, just play good songs and shut up about it. That's my take on Rush. Just too much about them. Just leave me alone.
All right. And this is Jared's take on comedians going after Trump. Do your jokes and shut up.
Just because Michelle Wolf can light the stage on fire doesn't mean...
Thank you, Jared.
Trenchcoat Mafia was an interesting choice of words, as that was the group they were suspected. They were misnamed the Columbine Killers.
Yeah.
They thought they were part of the Trenchcoat Mafia, which was a group of kids at their school that they actually weren't part of.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But those kids, maybe they liked Rush. Maybe Jared knows more than we do.
He was in with them. He was in with that crew. Some of the stuff we talked about, the math rock stuff. Play your instruments.
We talked about Columbine on this podcast since Nate Fridson, episode 3.
Yeah.
Marilyn Manson. Check that out.
Yeah. Check that episode out. It's early on. That's all I have to say about it. Marilyn Manson scared me, but that episode still haunts me to this day. I do want to point out, we are talking about the band Rush. Tommy thought we were defending Rush Limbaugh and his beliefs, which Tommy stands firmly behind.
We played Rush Limbaugh on a show once.
We did?
No, I did.
Oh,
it was for Kyle Ayers.
Oh, I
think
you've been on our show. I see.
He was like, you got to be Rush Limbaugh on this show. And then I like wore a suit. And then he was like, oh, I had to cut the line. I was like, okay.
Like, I bought a suit.
I wore it on a plane and everything.
Yeah, that's why I flew to Chicago. Yeah.
I flew from LaGuardia to JFK for that.
It is the best way to get.
That's how fucking Brisco
with Friday traffic. Oh my god!
Our friends took them. Our buddies, you know them. They're Chicago comedians.
Wait, did they really
very funny.
Do
this? No, they took a fucking ferry ticket, which is actually. It's not stupid, except for they went the wrong direction on the ferry.
So two times since they moved here, I've supposed to have been seeing a movie with one person from that apartment. Okay. One time, Charlie went to get on the ferry, got on the wrong ferry, missed the movie. The next time, Mike got on the wrong ferry and missed the movie. And I was like, you guys can't go on these fucking ferries anymore.
Not allowed. Any more boats.
I'm telling you, they're going to get on fucking JFK, fly to Newark, go over to LaGuardia. Like, actually, it was a little bit faster than on Google Maps. Let's go to Facebook. We had some good comments today.
Cool. Let's read that Sean Flannery line.
Yeah, that's the one I was looking
for.
The
only good comment we've ever gotten.
So prove us wrong, people. If you have a better comment for our Facebook thread, then how dare you even consider that someone needs to defend this man, Aqua.
If I could say real quick in regards to Jared's voicemail, other than the trench coat ponytail physical stereotype.
Tyler wishes he could grow a goddamn ponytail.
I could grow a ponytail. I just can't grow bangs.
You're a handsome man. That's the only reason.
Could you
grow
a ponytail, you think?
Yeah, I got all this hair back here.
So it's coming.
Maybe that's my next move. Jared's right. I think other than that, like, physical stereotype, he's right that if you encounter a too hard of a Rush fan, they won't shut up about it. He's also right that they are good. You can't. I think that's why, like,
yeah, they're great
people
musicians.
Are,
yeah,
I think that's why sometimes, yeah, like, nerds lock into them because they're like, it's objectively true.
Yeah. Like, and logic would follow that. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like an autism element.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
No, like it's water numbers. Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't say that I agree with that, but I get why some fans do that.
And you do agree with what those Columbine kids were up to. Now, Sean Flannery says, Rush is the flag bearer and a genre of music I personally hate that when you say you do not like it, their fans always reply, well, you have to play an instrument to get it. I hate musicians' bands. First of all, I don't buy it. Every rock band I've heard of got into it for fame and fortune, not to impress part-time trumpet players. Second, no other group has the audacity to make that claim. These aren't even pro musicians dismissing you. They are hobbyists. The office prankster wouldn't say he gets comedians at a higher level than you. I think Sean's wrong there. And then he says, I sometimes wonder if Rush only exists as a conversational launch pad for musicians to announce what instrument they play. Hmm. Tyler, I don't think you've mentioned an instrument yet, have you? Oh,
yes,
you
did
at the beginning.
Yeah, I did.
Well, that's busted.
And now so did I. It does make you just want to talk about it. Yeah.
Tommy McNamara says, this is a great comment and the type of thing we are looking for.
That was a good comment,
Tommy.
Of course.
I like things that are insightful and
right.
Start a conversation.
Sure.
Instead of just being like, they suck, they're gay, or whatever.
Well,
no, I like when people write that they're gay, but like the other one.
I just say when people being like, why would you do this band? It's like, you weren't going to listen either way if you're commenting that. You know what
yeah.
I mean? The people who comment that aren't like, well, I was going to listen until I saw the topic. Like,
right.
It's such bullshit.
Yeah. Will Carey says, great musicians. I like the Geddy Lee because he doesn't use bass amps and goes through the venue sound system, puts rotisserie ovens, clothes, dryers, and random stuff behind him on stage.
That's true.
What a weird reason to like them.
That sounds like some Tom Waits shit.
Yeah.
They're very their stage show is very eccentric. Like, it doesn't always make sense. It's kind of like they're like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if we put an active laundry machine behind us?
They would have had a fun Comedy Central Presents back
yeah, right?
when you could make your own backdrop.
It's that dry Canadian sense of humor.
That senseless Canadian sense of humor.
I love this. My friend, comedian out of Portland, Amanda Arnold, says, I think I might be the only woman that has seen Rush live 3 times. I dated a huge fan, which I would if we're wrong about this, prove us wrong, people, that... I feel like it's mostly men into this, and it's if there are women there, they've been dragged there by men.
And you mean literally?
Yeah, literally. Like they let them out of the bag when they get there or whatever. She said, "I dated a huge fan who was also in a Cake tribute band.
Of course.
I feel bad about myself." Then she said, "I will say, if you like their music or not, they put on an amazing, visually stunning show. Are uber talented musicians. They also go well with mushrooms." You had me till the end there.
Ooh.
You shouldn't need that for a good band.
When did this thread turn into a phantom thread? Fans of Phantom Thread will love that reference.
I haven't seen that film yet. Anyway,
my response to that is almost everything's good with mushrooms.
Oh, man. If you want to go see Tommy McNamara live, I recommend you do it on mushrooms. I don't know.
I am doing a one-man show about Phantom Thread.
You're going to want up those mushrooms.
It's 3 hours long.
Joe McMahon, our hillbilly.
I just saw him last night.
Oh, hell yeah.
Man,
how's he doing?
He was hosting at the Laugh Factory on a show I was doing.
They let him host over there?
It was on a 9 p.m. Sunday show on Mother's Day. They let him host.
Wow.
He kept pointing at women and asking, like, are you a mom? Which I was like, you shouldn't do that.
I love that.
That's just a weird thing. But my favorite crowd work interaction he had was he points to some guy and he goes, you look like you just got done fishing. And then the guy goes, I'm going to fish you. It was like the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, man, that's great. That's probably enough of the comments. I didn't see. There was like one other one that I did like. But, oh, let's read Joe McAdam. He wrote, that song I Think I'm Going Bald would be any other band's least rock and roll song, but not Rush. I also think Working Man rips, and I like them more than I should considering they're libertarians. And then there's an argument about their libertarianism.
That was
down here.
Joe McAdam, you said?
That is Joe McAdam.
Another bald guy. Another handsome, strong, bald man.
Let's see. Nate Fritzen says, when I was in high school, the band I played in opened for a band that covered Tom Sawyer. It was in 99 to 01. What 16-year-old in 2000 comes to like Rush in good faith? It's music for you to play while looking at someone, suppressing a giggle, and waiting for them to realize you're making fun of them. What?
I don't know.
That's a hobby that only a mean man like Nate has. Hey, I gotta pick some music to laugh at this nerd about.
Concert for Schmucks, I think, is that movie.
That's enough of Facebook. We better get to this playlist. You only have a couple minutes left here. Shit,
yeah,
my bad.
Luckily, Rush songs are all short and sweet.
We're gonna zoom through this.
I know
really
you guys
sorry.
Hate long songs from having listened to the podcast, and I was real tempted to be like, well, I could put 3 18-minute long songs, but I did not. I tried to make
that?
You guys happy.
So this is a song called What You're Doing. Let's move on because we got to be a little quick here. Let's go to Closer to the Heart.
I like this song.
I think this is a great choice. Yeah.
Also, maybe their shortest song.
That's why I said great choice.
A man after our own.
Closer to
the Heart. I really do like his voice too. And he looks like young Dumbledore a little bit.
He looks like a wizard.
Yeah, which I appreciate.
They definitely have a fantasy element to them, you know.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, they don't really write about like relationships ever.
Yeah,
they kind of just like find things interesting. They're like, we're just gonna write about.
Yeah,
I don't know, a science fiction novel that we won't write ourselves.
Yeah.
Since this was originally released, it has appeared on several other Rush albums.
Oh, weird. Featured.
It's mostly the live ones, I think. Sure. All of their live albums, it says, features this, which I don't know if that's true. Alex Lifeson says this is the ultimate Rush song. This is about people.
What else he said?
What's that?
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah.
That's going to be the new Kanye West song. Oh, man. Wait, am I on the right? Yeah, okay. This is about people who run governments and how they should be responsible for initiating harmony among themselves, just as blue-collar workers do. And men who hold high places must be the ones to start to mold a new reality. Closer to the heart, closer to the heart. The next part talks about a blacksmith and an artist and how they forge their creativity in their art. Then we hear about the role of philosophers and plowmen in sowing a new mentality, a new way for people to view life. Finally, you can be the captain. I will draw the chart, sailing into destiny, closer to the heart. Achieving your goal is like sailing. Someone needs to guide you or be your role model, but you have to draw the charts to navigate toward your destiny. The goal is to be
closer to the far.
Oh, you were so close.
Oh, man.
You lose the podcast.
I won again? I told someone they won.
Oh, shit. I have no idea. I don't remember that.
I do remember saying you won the podcast and you being really mad about it.
Was it Lisa when she picked Aqua?
Maybe.
That's maybe the only time I've been mad on this show. When you gave that fucking piece of shit playlist.
Dude,
I'm
about to land.
There was one other one that you gave a six that I was like, I can't believe this.
Well, it's Duto, but that was...
Oh, yeah. That was different.
Extenuating circumstances.
You were hoping he'd put you in a film. All right, let's listen to The Spirit of the Radio.
Oh. Which is the cheapest radio.
Nice. Yeah, they're charging us an extra $50 to play this song right now. Tom Sawyer, mean, yeah.
Don't speak, I know just what you're saying.
I should say also, on the playlist, to cover my ground, I went into this expecting you both to hate Rush.
I don't hate Rush.
But, Tom was like, I got a feeling. I was like, I'm going to try to win Tom over at least. So I put something from their first album, and then, like, I'm spacing it out through their career.
Much like Kevin Spacey.
Yes.
In all ways.
Wait, it's so funny. So Jeremy Piven was performing at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, fuck. I saw that. It's so funny.
So did you do a show with him?
No, I was supposed to be on the 7 p.m., but I got bumped to the 9 p.m. because he was there. And I told my family that, and then my sister at Mother's Day Punch, Colleen, does, so I heard you got bumped for Kevin Spacey, because that's what she thought. And it was just so funny to picture Kevin Spacey doing the Laugh Factory.
After all the allegations, he's like, well, I have to do stand-up.
Yeah, it's all that's
specifically
left.
Is like, would be Piven, the funniest.
Piven had some little gations there, too, didn't he?
Well, that's the whole point. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that's why he's
so
doing
it's still
it. Yeah,
weird.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why he's doing it?
I mean, that's not...
That's what he's like, been... It's pretty bad that, like, these people's, like, plan F is it my, like, is our, like, plan A. All right, let's see. The unusual guitar heard at the beginning of this track sounds like Alex Lifeson was using a hammer-on technique, but he was really picking the strings very quickly.
Mm.
Do you know that?
True. I don't know if I ever succeeded in playing that riff.
This is why. You were trying the hammer technique.
I was trying a hammer.
Do you ever, should have been trying to take the hard-on technique.
Do you ever roll switch in the bedroom, have your girl put on a hammer-on?
Sounds very painful. let's see. The part where the song returns to the main riff is meant to imitate the sound of turning a radio dial. On analog dials, for a brief moment in between stations, you can catch multiple stations' sounds at once.
Ooh.
Interesting. All right, we heard Limelight. This is Subdivisions.
This is when they got sick.
I did hate this one.
Since the end.
I just really hate the vibe.
Yeah,
fuck that dude.
He's probably Pierce, you know?
Jared was right. Leave me alone.
It's been about a decade. Really good piece. It's a good job. Alex loves it.
I love when somebody from the band is like, yeah, remember when we did that thing? I didn't like it.
It's like, Getty was real happy. He was having a good time, though.
I can't wait for 20 years from now when we're talking about things we did on this podcast. And I'm like, yeah, that is that period where we only talked about what, like, only female vocalists for 2 years of the podcast. That was Tommy's idea.
I'm down for that.
That actually sounds fun. I was trying to think of something I knew you would like, but I was like, oh, I might like that too. let's see. This song is about how narrow-minded and judgmental people can get when they are confined to certain groups, a common occurrence in the suburbs. This is spelled out in the chorus. Subdivisions in the high school halls and the shopping malls, conform or be cast out. This is exactly what I hate. This is the song I hated the most.
Yeah,
for sure. Because whenever you hear grown men talking about conforming in high school,
yeah, conforming,
it's like, come on. Yeah. It's
like they're like 35 at this
point. It's like those South Park goth characters. Like, it reminds me of that so much. I can't take it seriously. So fuck that song. Let's listen to Far Cry and get you out of here.
This is from their second to last album.
Some would say penultimate.
Neither are you. This whole song is in 4/4 time, but it's written to sound like it's in different time signatures.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's like the laziest way to do math rock, though. Yeah.
sounds like they used a calculator on this one, boys.
Wow.
That was Far Cry. Rush drummer Neil Peart wrote the lyrics about how his generation started off great, concerned with peace and love, but at the end, they ended far off. It's a far cry from the world we thought we'd inherit. It also talks about the homeless and dependency on electronics.
What?
Boy. Yeah,
all
old
right.
Neil.
Okay, old man.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Get back on your motorcycle. And
we really inherited something good, and these youths are turning it all to shit.
And the maple trees are homeless. Where is their cell phone?
That you threw in closer to the heart there.
And where is their cell phone? I'm trying to get
that. It's a good mashup. Yeah, yeah.
No one cares. I don't Apple care.
Damn.
Whoa. Oh man, that's the playlist. I'm having a tough time with the rating of this one, man. Because you know I love
Subdivisions was clearly a mess.
So we know that's definitely not getting anything from either.
Yeah, Subdivisions. I really hated. I liked Limelight. I've always liked Limelight for whatever reason. Maybe it's because you know. We're struggling with that Limelight. This podcast is too big. We can't even walk down the street. Let's see. What You're Doing. We could take it or leave it. Closer to the Heart, I enjoy. Spirit of the Radio, it's fine. And then Far Cry. It's just the cynicism is not for me of this Neil Peart fella. And I don't even dislike. It's not like I hate him. I just think he's a little crotchety.
You're not wrong.
I'm gonna give it a 3.5, but I'll let you go ahead and go, Tommy.
I'm gonna. Well, first of all, let me just say what you're doing. being a great guest.
Oh my god!
I'm gonna
You're closer to my heart.
3.75 was what I'd settle on before, even before you'd say yours. So pretty similar. I just like. I mean, with the classic rock bands, I feel like I always end up liking the ones I've already heard and not caring about the ones I haven't. You know what I mean? Like that's just how it always kind of ends up. Like I already love Limelight and Closer to the Heart. And Spirit of the Radio, and then the other ones, like, I didn't think they were bad songs, but well, I thought Subdivisions was a bad song.
For me, it's we've heard stuff on here that classic stuff that I was like, oh, I didn't realize I liked this. Like, there was some Steely Dan shit that I was into.
I guess that's true.
I mean, I know that's not the same.
But that was like, also, for me at least, was like, it was more just realizing, like, I actually had heard those songs. But yeah, so 3.75, but...
But.
It's because it is my year of banana pudding.
It was once the year of generosity. Now
it remains 375.
I remember we're a far cry off the beginning of this year. I remember when we were about generosity, and now we're about banana pie. Is that what you
banana
said?
Pudding?
That's
Jesus.
Right, banana pudding. I keep fucking it up.
You got to try it Thursday. Come with me. $2.
All right, I might be down for that. And,
Martha's Country Bakery in Williamsburg.
I will be leaving mine at 3.5 because it is Tommy's year of banana pie.
Pudding. I'm throw a pie in your fucking face.
That's
clown.
What I've been asking for. It is my year of banana of Jello pudding. I think I decided
that was it. Yeah,
that was it. 3.5 Jello pudding.
And finally.
And yeah, what do you give this playlist there, Snotty?
So I experimented a little bit. If I was making a playlist for me, I would have also left off Subdivisions.
Interesting.
I like it fine, but the synth era is not my favorite.
It seems like you put it on there just to punish all of us.
Isn't 2112 like one of their biggest albums?
Yeah.
Because I know she didn't have
a lot of people are saying
on.
That one's like a perfect album.
So the song 2112 is like 16 minutes long.
Oh shit.
It's the entire A side of the album.
Oh wow.
So it is like one of their biggest songs. It's kind of the one that saved their career.
Interesting.
Before like Tom Sawyer and all that came out. But it is, you would have hated
it. Well, especially for the podcast, you can't like hope you land on a good part.
Yeah. Here's 20 seconds of a 16 minutes off.
I mean, the first 2 minutes are probably the best part, but I'll give it a 5.5.
Wow. All right. Interesting. Okay.
Because
still pretty
good. I'm going in with some self-awareness.
Tyler, thanks so much for coming on. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Tyler Snod. And then I run a live show and podcast called We Still Like You.
Ooh, great time.
Which is on iTunes also. And if
it's
you want to
competitor.
You got the same market corner.
Do not listen to this podcast.
And then if you want to ever see it live, we're in Louisville, Denver, LA, and Chicago.
Ooh, interesting.
So I don't know, Google it, I guess. Message me on Facebook. I'll tell you where to go.
Get in there. Come see me and Tommy live at Limestone. That is, I believe, May
Friday
30th.
Friday 6-1, I thought.
Oh, 6-1. Friday 6-1. Yes, you're right. Which is how tall we both are. So that's good.
But yeah, we'll both be in the Thursday before.
Yeah. So come to Limestone. Come see our live show at Caroline's. I believe it's July 14th.
June 14th.
June 14th. Yes.
And come see Late Late Breakfast this weekend if you're hanging out.
That is right.
At the Creek in the Cave. Yeah.
Get there too.
I wish you were there for this one.
Me too, man.
Yeah.
All right, you got to get out of here. Guys, keep it crispy. Rate and review if you like the show. Patreon.com/standbyyourband.
And Jesse, from the tweet, if you're listening, 847-404-3203.
And Jesse's girl, 867-5309. Goodbye.